What if everything we thought we knew about discipline was wrong? In the United States, 1 in 2 children will develop a mood disorder, behavioral disorder, or substance addiction before age 18. This statistic isn't just alarming, it represents a fundamental shift in children's behavior compared to previous generations. Catherine Reynolds Lewis's groundbreaking book has become a cultural phenomenon, with her initial Mother Jones article becoming the site's most read story ever. The book resonated deeply with overwhelmed parents and educators, offering hope through revolutionary approaches that reduced discipline problems by up to 80% in schools and transformed family dynamics. As a Harvard physics graduate turned award-winning journalist, Lewis spent 5 years investigating why modern children struggle with self-regulation, despite parents spending more time with them than ever before. Her conclusion is both surprising and liberating. Our traditional discipline methods are actually undermining the very skills children need to succeed. In 2003, Russian psychologists replicated a famous 1948 experiment measuring children's self-control. The results were shocking. Modern kindergartners showed dramatically less self-regulation than their counterparts from 55 years earlier. First and second graders from the 1940s could stand still 4 times longer than today's children. This decline isn't isolated to Russia. American psychologist Jean Twenge has documented similar trends in the United States, with dramatic increases in anxiety, depression, distractibility, and rebelliousness among young people compared to previous generations. What's driving this societal shift? Several factors converge to create this perfect storm. Screen time has dramatically increased for children. In 1970, kids started watching TV at age 4. Now they begin at 4 months. By age 5, children spend 40% of waking hours on screens. Research connects this screen exposure to attention problems, with each weekly hour before age 3 increases ADHD risk by 10% by age 7. Screens disrupt joint attention, the crucial developmental process where children and caregivers focus together on objects, making eye contact and building language skills. Social media creates additional challenges for older children. Teens describe maintaining their Snapchat streaks as like a job, rapidly tapping through dozens of updates without actually looking at them. They carefully curate their Instagram presence, posting only when they look pretty, while acknowledging how these platforms negatively impact their self-image. Research confirms these observations. University of Michigan psychologist Ethan Cross found college students felt lonelier and less satisfied with life the more they used social media. Beyond media use, researchers point to intense academic pressure. Children compete for nursery school spots at age 3, face mounting homework, and experience constant evaluation. Modern middle-class parents view their children as talents to cultivate rather than household contributors, inadvertently sending the message that worth depends on achievement in increasingly competitive domains. Perhaps most significantly, modern children are essentially unemployed. Their days filled with homework, lessons, and sports, but no true responsibilities to family or community. No one depends on them for essential tasks like caring for siblings, cleaning the house, or preparing meals. This lack of purpose can be as disorienting for children as joblessness is for adults, undermining their well-being according to self-determination theory, which holds that humans thrive based on autonomy, competence, and connection to others. Understanding how the brain responds to stress and criticism provides crucial insights into children's behavior. Neuroscientists have mapped the brain's key structures. The prefrontal cortex, governing higher-order tasks like thinking and emotion regulation, and the amygdala, controlling physiological responses to emotions. Crucially, they've discovered that learning and repeated experiences physically alter the brain by creating new neuronal pathways. Humans have a unique advantage among mammals, an extended juvenile phase where our brains remain highly plastic until our mid-20s. This extended development period allows our brains to be shaped for creativity, problem-solving, and social navigation. While genes and temperament provide a starting point, parents play a crucial role in creating environments that shape brain development. Moderate stress actually benefits children when followed by relief. When infants cry and receive comfort, or when preschoolers separate from parents and are later reunited, these arousal relief cycles tone the brain by developing self-regulatory neural patterns. The brain's nearly 90 billion neurons learn from repeated experience, constantly forming new connections. The more you cycle through arousal and self-regulation, the stronger those neural networks become. Research shows harsh discipline damages children's development. Children who experience corporal punishment, including spanking, show higher rates of aggression and criminal behavior as adults. Similarly, harsh verbal discipline, yelling, cursing, or insulting children, proves ineffective and harmful. When adults scream at children, the impact resembles physical hitting, putting kids into a fight-or-flight state where they can't access higher-order brain functions to learn from the experience. Jim Cohen's groundbreaking experiment demonstrated how empathy physically changes brain function during stress. When women in MRI scanners faced potential electric shocks, their brains showed dramatically different responses depending on whether they were alone, holding a stranger's hand, or holding their spouse's hand. With a spouse's hand to hold, their brains were remarkably quieter, showing near normal activity in the hypothalamus, which controls stress hormones. This physical connection allowed participants to regulate emotions and access rational thinking instead of spiraling emotionally. The research demonstrates that empathetic connection literally changes how our brains process stress and threat, a principle that applies equally to parent-child relationships. While adults have complained about youth behavior since ancient times, evidence suggests modern children genuinely struggle more with self-regulation. The prefrontal cortex, crucial for executive function and impulse control, develops slowly in children, especially those with behavioral challenges. This explains why some children genuinely struggle with self-regulation regardless of intelligence level. Research contradicts tough love approaches advocated by tiger mother-style parenting. While controlling methods may produce short-term compliance, they undermine children's intrinsic motivation and self-regulation. Both corporal and verbal punishment carry long-term risks similar to physical abuse, including substance abuse, depression, and other serious health problems. Authoritarian parenting, the father-knows-best style where children obeyed without question, worked in an era of lifetime employment and rigid social hierarchies. Today's context has fundamentally changed. Modern workplaces value collaboration over command and control, and children increasingly see themselves as deserving equal respect. Parents now want deeper qualities for their children: independence, compassion, resilience, creativity, rather than mere obedience. The 1990s saw permissive parenting rise with the self-esteem movement, where parents praised children regardless of achievement and avoided setting boundaries. This approach ultimately backfired. Research comparing parenting styles found permissive parenting actually produces worse outcomes than authoritarian approaches. Children of indulgent parents experience more substance abuse, academic underperformance, and behavioral problems despite feeling more self-confident. Research consistently demonstrates authoritative parenting, combining emotional warmth with clear boundaries, produces the best outcomes for children's well-being, academic achievement, and behavior. Unlike authoritarian parents who demand obedience because I said so, authoritative parents explain reasoning and remain open to negotiation. While parents increasingly reject punishment in favor of communication and mutual respect, many struggle to find the crucial middle ground between authoritarian control and permissive parenting. When democracy and respect are family values, adults often feel awkward imposing necessary limits until frustration pushes them to revert to authoritarian tactics embedded in collective memory. Instead of viewing children's inappropriate behavior as manipulation or attention-seeking, we should see it as a sign of missing skills or environmental challenges that need addressing. The apprenticeship model offers a comprehensive solution by giving children responsibility within ever-increasing, mutually agreed-upon limits. This approach, while messier than traditional authoritarian parenting, where adults make all decisions, requires us to let children experience necessary failures as essential learning opportunities that build resilience and problem-solving skills. In this model, parents recognize children's fundamental right to autonomy over basic functions like eating, sleeping, and bathroom needs, then gradually expand their sphere of influence as they develop new capabilities. Rather than constantly correcting children's choices, parents should first evaluate whether the behavior causes actual harm and allow safe experimentation. Vicky Hosel's revolutionary approach emphasizes relationship building and independence through her radical Do Nothing, Say Nothing week, where parents cease all forms of controlling behavior. No directing, nagging, bribing, manipulating, yelling, punishing, or rewarding their children. This creates space for children to develop internal motivation and self-regulation. The apprenticeship model follows three sequential steps: connection, establishing a strong, trust-based relationship, communication, understanding each other's perspectives and needs, and capability building, coaching practical and emotional skills through modeling and guided practice, followed by collaborative limit setting. The ultimate goal is to gradually relinquish control to increasingly capable children, returning discipline to its original meaning, to teach and guide rather than punish. Before overhauling parenting approaches, families should carefully consider health factors affecting behavior. Sleep deprivation is particularly concerning. Elementary school children average only 8.9 hours versus the recommended 10 to 11 hours, with many getting even less. Extensive research links insufficient sleep to mood disorders, anxiety, depression, attention problems, and reduced academic performance. Nutrition plays an equally crucial role, with omega-3 fatty acids being essential for central nervous system development, emotional regulation, and cognitive function. Regular exercise, consistent routines, and limited screen time also significantly impact behavior and learning capacity. To successfully implement the apprenticeship model, parents should begin by openly acknowledging and apologizing to children for previously following the obedience model, which helps disarm resistance to new responsibilities and builds trust. Under this approach, parents negotiate age-appropriate agreements with children rather than dictating unilaterally, with rules applying to everyone in the household consistently. This creates a democratic family environment where children learn through experience while feeling respected and valued as contributing members of the family unit. The model also emphasizes the importance of natural consequences over artificial punishments, allowing children to learn from real-world outcomes while maintaining a supportive relationship with parents. This might mean letting a child experience being cold after refusing to wear a coat or missing an activity due to not completing necessary preparations, all while offering empathy rather than "I told you so" responses. The author describes visiting the Developmental Affective Neuroscience Lab at Columbia University, where researchers study emotional connections between mothers and children. The research process involved electrodes measuring heart rates, psychological assessments, and experiments testing how children learn from their mother's reactions. Researchers like Bridget Callahan study how maternal presence regulates children's physiology and emotional responses. When mothers are separated from their young, whether in rats or humans, the children experience brain changes that can lead to anxiety and reactivity. When mothers return, children's brains normalize, demonstrating how parental presence helps regulate body temperature, heart rate, and emotional states. The research examines how parent-child interactions affect brain development at the cellular level. Experiencing emotional arousal followed by regulation creates healthy neural pathways for managing stress. Children without reliable parents often develop prematurely rigid brains that overreact to threats. Connection can transform conflicts and meltdowns. When a child's amygdala floods their body with stress hormones, physical connection, like holding hands, can help them self-regulate. Even when parents can't interrupt dysregulation, they can model calmness during conflict. Prioritizing relationship doesn't mean abandoning rules. Children actually feel secure knowing boundaries are solid, and parents can enforce limits while maintaining connection through touch and empathy. The Boston Basics Initiative aims to transform how parents nurture babies through five simple principles: maximize love and manage stress, talk, sing, and point, count, group, and compare, explore through movement and play, and read and discuss stories. This community-wide approach enlists institutions from hospitals to barbershops to police departments to share these evidence-based parenting practices. One mother, Jasmine Russell, naturally implements these principles with her toddler Isaiah, teaching him sign language and encouraging verbal development. Despite her challenging upbringing as the eldest of 10 children who served as live-in babysitter, Jasmine creates a different experience for her son, taking him to museums, aquariums, and playgroups. She embraces physical affection and seeks community resources, believing the bonding starts there with hugs and kisses. Parents often say, "My child doesn't listen," when they really mean, "My child doesn't obey." This mindset shift is crucial. Instead of demanding blind obedience, we must build mutual cooperation through genuine communication. When children misbehave, parents should get curious rather than angry, recognizing that behavior communicates unmet needs. Vicki Hofla's parenting class in Vermont reveals how many parents discover they're too bossy during her recommended Do Nothing, Say Nothing week. Parents report surprise at their children's capabilities when given space to function independently. One mother, Lisa Rowley, was shocked when her adopted daughter Ella responded to her apology for bossing by saying, "But mommy, I know that's how you love me." Under stress, parents default to communication patterns learned in childhood: dictatorial commands or desperate negotiations. The apprenticeship model offers an alternative. Instead of empty praise from the self-esteem movement, parents learn to make specific observations about children's work and ask genuine questions about their choices. This builds authentic self-evaluation skills rather than dependency on external validation. Better advanced communication solves many family tussles. Instead of barking orders, review schedules ahead of time and involve children in planning. Nonverbal signals can transform interactions. A gentle hand on the forearm to request attention, with the parent covering it to acknowledge, "I'll be with you in a moment." The words parents use to describe their children become internalized as self-identity. Vicki Hofla warns against negative labels. Every time you use a word, a kid swallows it and it becomes part of their self-idea. Instead of correcting unwanted behaviors, parents should identify positive traits and anchor them to specific actions. "You were so thoughtful when Michael came over," and reflective listening, restating what you hear and asking for clarification, helps children develop emotional vocabulary beyond simple angry to more nuanced feelings like humiliated or left out. Research shows empathy actually reduces stress responses and protects against depression and anxiety. Bay and Josiah Jackson live with their three redheaded children in rural Vermont in a house they built themselves. Their children demonstrate remarkable self-sufficiency, preparing food, even using large knives, folding laundry, cleaning bathrooms, and helping with household tasks they call contributions. These aren't token chores, but meaningful work, including Zealand lighting fires in their wood-heated home since age 2. Research by Heidi Riggio and Marty Rossman confirms that children who begin household responsibilities early develop greater competence, self-sufficiency, and better outcomes in education and relationships. The key is balancing responsibility with autonomy, allowing children input into which tasks they perform and how they complete them. Parents should begin building capability based on children's interests and developmental readiness rather than parental preferences. For toddlers eager to help, simple tasks with guaranteed success build confidence. School-aged children often enjoy working alongside parents, while tweens and teens need appropriately challenging tasks that demonstrate real impact. Beyond household tasks, building children's social and emotional capability proves equally important. At Ohio Avenue Elementary School in Columbus, Principal Brandy Davies works with children who have experienced significant trauma. When conflicts arise, Davies uses techniques that build emotional regulation rather than punish. The school implements the PAX Good Behavior Game, which reduces disruptive behavior by 70% by having children agree on desired behaviors, PAX, and unwanted behaviors, spleems, working in teams to minimize spleems and earn brief celebratory activities. The game has transformed the classroom atmosphere, with children learning to regulate their emotions using fidgets, exercise bikes, and other calming tools. Principal Olympia Williams prioritizes behavioral skills before academics, knowing children can't learn if they're constantly fighting or unable to sit still. The results are impressive. Timeouts under an hour dropped 77%, while longer timeouts fell 88%. Despite emphasizing children's autonomy and input, the apprenticeship model still maintains clear boundaries. When the author's daughter violated screen time rules, she faced the consequence of losing privileges for a day. Though her daughter initially reacted with anger and sulking, the author remained calm and firm. Eventually, the daughter's mood shifted, leading to a heartfelt apology and quality time together. Effective consequences followed the 4 R's rule. They must be related to the behavior, reasonable in scope, respectful of the child, and revealed in advance. For example, if a child forgets to put away their bike, losing bike privileges for a week would be appropriate, while losing screen time would be unrelated. Losing the bike for months would be unreasonable, and name-calling would be disrespectful. Giving children genuine choices provides them power in situations where they feel powerless. For toddlers and preschoolers, simple options like brush teeth or read a book first can prevent resistance. Parents often only pretend to give choices while actually offering options that achieve the parents' goals. The author advocates for minimal homework for elementary students, citing research showing it's largely ineffective before middle school. Parents should avoid hovering or correcting work, as homework should reflect the child's actual understanding. If homework consistently takes too long, parents should advocate with teachers rather than enabling overwork. The author humorously notes that the only guaranteed solution to sibling conflicts is having an only child. She explains that sibling fighting is normal developmental behavior, similar to how young animals learn socialization through rough play. Parents should generally stay out of conflicts unless there's serious harm, as intervention often reinforces the behavior. Parents inevitably pass their own anxieties, quirks, and behavioral patterns to their children, often in ways they don't consciously recognize. The author candidly reflects on her personal struggle with perfectionism and how it initially influenced her approach to parenting. She immersed herself in pregnancy literature, attended multiple parenting support groups, and meticulously tracked developmental milestones, determined to achieve perfect parenting. This perfectionist drive led to exhaustion and frustration as she discovered that children, with their unique personalities and developmental trajectories, rarely conform to textbook expectations. Effective parenting requires helping children understand and manage their complex emotional worlds, which proves impossible unless parents first develop awareness and mastery of their own emotional landscape. The author shares a pivotal moment when her young daughter, during a stressful morning routine, perfectly mimicked her frustrated tone and language, declaring, "This is ridiculous." This mirror effect served as a wake-up call, highlighting how children absorb not just our words, but our emotional responses and coping mechanisms. Instead of blaming external circumstances or her children's behavior, she realized she needed to model effective self-regulation and emotional management. Shannon McMeekin's journey to mindfulness began through tragedy and transformation. Growing up with a father who struggled with untreated bipolar disorder, her childhood was marked by unpredictability and emotional turbulence. Just when she had finally established stability in her adult life, her father's unexpected death plunged her into profound grief. Through this challenging period, she discovered yoga, which eventually led her to mindfulness meditation. These practices provided her with tools to process her grief and manage her emotions, ultimately inspiring her career change to become a family therapist specializing in mindfulness-based approaches. Shannon's personal experience with anxiety led her to reframe it as a superpower, a heightened sensitivity that, when properly managed, enables her to read situations and respond to clients with greater insight and empathy. The apprenticeship model emphasizes flexibility and cultural adaptation, recognizing that effective parenting strategies must align with each family's unique values, communication styles, and cultural background. While certain parenting approaches advocate for gentle, indirect language, using phrases like, I noticed you were, or would you be willing to? The author emphasizes that parents should adopt language and approaches that feel genuine and align with their cultural norms. Some cultures may view collaborative language as passive or ineffective, preferring more direct communication. The key principles of mutual respect, active listening, and collaborative problem solving remain fundamental, but their expression can vary significantly across different cultural contexts. Parents are encouraged to adapt the model's core principles while maintaining authenticity in their parenting style.
The McCoy house buzzed with activity as 8 children, ages 4 to 9, played rambunctiously throughout the 3-story home. Despite the chaos, the 4 couples, all graduates of the PEP parenting curriculum, maintained calm, redirecting children without scolding or lecturing. These parents had formed a supportive community to reinforce the firm and kind strategies they've learned. Research confirms that social support significantly increases successful behavior change. Like Weight Watchers or AA, parenting groups provide positive feedback and optimism from seeing others overcome similar challenges. Creating a community of like-minded parents can buffer against a judgmental world, making it easier to give children appropriate autonomy despite outside pressure. Changing parenting approaches takes time. Successful parent education programs require practicing new skills with children over many weeks. As PEP founder Linda Jessup explained, learning to parent differently resembles potty training. First making messes without awareness, then recognizing mistakes after they happen, and finally anticipating and preventing problems. Instead of fretting about our children's differences or limitations, we should look for positive aspects. Children with ADHD may become creative geniuses. Those with dyslexia might develop entrepreneurial talents. Our job is to help children discover their passions and unique contributions, not impose our choices on them based on competitive parenting pressures. Parenting with the apprenticeship model means breaking cultural norms. Though some might see involving children in household decisions as pampering, it actually gives them a deep well of encouragement and develops crucial life skills like self-advocacy, negotiation, and responsibility. When my daughter Ava was ready for our promised Dunkin' Donuts breakfast while her sister Maddie remained in bed, I faced a parenting crossroads. Rather than rescuing Ava by taking her alone or forcing Maddie to hurry, I maintained our agreed timeline while acknowledging Ava's disappointment. Despite her initial tantrum, Ava ultimately solved her own breakfast dilemma by making lemon poppy muffins. By the time we left for school, Ava had not only regulated her emotions and solved her breakfast problem, but had also independently chosen to share with Maddie. This triple achievement in emotional regulation, problem solving, and moral decision making demonstrated the power of stepping back and allowing children to work through challenges themselves.